There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you are not one of them.
You want to
keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Steve Faub, my co-host. Nasser Hamid will be bringing us Motorsports Mondial in the second part of the show. This is podcast number 345, May 8th, 2009. Stephen?
This F1 Weekly Podcast is brought to you by the Jim Russell Rotax Challenge and Marin Karting. Check them out. You know you want to.
Thank you, Stephen. On today's program, will the spending caps ruin Formula One? Renault to abandon KERS until Spa? What to expect in Barcelona from the panel? And Motorsports Mondial with the man himself, Mr. Nasser Hamid. Steve, welcome to the studio. Thank you. And, of course, I want to thank you for covering for me last week. I had some family business to take care of. And, of course, you stepped in. No problems at all.
Not a problem, Clark. You know, we've done over 300-plus of these things. It's kind of automatic. We can do it with or without you.
I don't feel too secure anymore.
Yeah, I can never replace the host, Clark.
There we go, Steve.
You know that. I just don't have that man love for Alonso.
Thank you. And that is a lot of man love involved there. Stephen, the big hoopla, of course, I was out of town. And in the area where I was at, NASCAR is the dominating race force. So
There are no other motorsports but NASCAR where you were.
Correct. So I did have to go online every once in a while when I could.
Like, oh, wait a minute, they have swamp buggies.
So they have funky stuff, and I have seen swamp buggies on Speed TV. But yes, they do have that. But anyway, I noticed the big news, of course, the FIA putting the 40 million pound cap limit on the teams if they choose to do so. Ferrari in an uproar. People are freaking out. And of course, Mario Tyson coming out saying, this would cause a two-tier Formula One scenario, and some of the big manufacturers are not happy about it.
No, and it's sort of understandable. You know, it's kind of like Mario, but we kind of already have a two-tier system in Formula One, but that's beside the point. It would just actually put it in writing. But I tend to agree with Ferrari that it is Formula One. You're in it because you want to be with the best, and when you're in with the best, they're going to be able to spend some money, and you know this is supposed to be the pinnacle of motorsport, and the more you regulate it, the lower you bring the pinnacle.
And once again, the FIA, and I know they're trying to do well, but instead of working in concert with FOTA, they seem to just, you know, it's a tit-for-tat kind of situation, and there's always this infighting, and I don't think it's very productive.
What I tend to see is that Max gets a wild hair, and he goes off half-cocked to the media with his new proposal, or he actually just dumps the new proposal and goes, this is the way it's going to be, and then the teams have got to come back and go, hey, wait a minute, we don't want to go that direction, come on!
Yeah, I mean, Foto had to put out a press release and demand urgent talks right away with the FIA over this big thing, because it seems like the FIA and FOTA are completely on different paths. And I think that's wrong. These people should be working together.
Yeah, definitely. You know, if we're working to improve and constrain the sport, so to speak, as far as, you know, budgetary or monetary economic sense goes, then the teams need to be involved in the discussions. Otherwise, Max has just got a little bit too much dictator in him for this. Yeah, he just likes to make the proclamations, and then you know, he basically deals with the fallout. And I think he tends to take a position a little bit further out than he really wants, so that he has room to have the teams rein him back in.
Yeah, well, I never would want to call Max a fascist. But Mr. Tyson was quoted saying, "What is important, though, is next year's regulations. We need to really hope that there will be a one-tier Formula One next year and not two classes of cars running to different regulations, because that would definitely affect our next internal evaluation, meaning, you know, the BMW board, as all of them, Mercedes, you know, all the manufacturers have their meetings and discuss whether is it worth it, because these days they're still being hit hard. Mercedes is may have to lay off people. They've been cutting back on a lot of employees' hours, but there's a limit to everything. And the other thing I found, the FIA, they quietly, and this is official, it's Rule 6, the new 2010 championship point system. The Formula One World Championship driver's title will be awarded to the driver who has been classified first in the greatest number of races. All official results from the championship season being taken into account. There you go. The winner, the guy with the most wins, wins the World Championship in 2010. And this was hardly talked about. They just sort of threw it under the door, but it's official. It's in the rule book for 2010. And I'm stunned.
I really have a hard time with that one. You know, if the point structure is done properly, then the guy that wins the most races is typically going to win the championship. But
when you have a season like in 82, when you have a bunch of different race winners, and it's really the point system that...
Yeah, it comes down to my other issue, too, is that what are they going to do if we get another Braun next season, or a team comes out of the gate and wins five of the first eight races?
Okay, Nasser just stepped into the studio because I know he was in the cafeteria talking with the girls, and we have to bring him in here. But Nas, I want to get your thoughts on the FIA and some of these new rule changes, the cap, your thought on Ferrari. I mean, for heaven's sake, I don't think Formula One would be Formula One without Ferrari. Your thoughts?
Hello. And yes, there's too much confusion going on. FIA, drink my wine kind of stuff, you know.
Yeah.
They're creating a lot of problems, and I just want a simple, you know, system. You know, maybe, I think, you know, they should give 15 for a winner, 10 to the second place, and maybe take races points from, you know, let's say first half, second half, and drop your one or two worst scores. But I don't like this idea of...
Let's just have them all race for the first 10 races, and then the guys with the top 10 points, the top 10 guys in points will race for the cup. Oh, oops, wrong.
We're already doing that in the greatest cities in the world called Le NASCAR. No, I personally don't like the idea, because there is a history of, you know, like Bob Warshaw said about points and pole positions. I personally also don't like this nonsense of... I would like to see pole position determined by same fuel level, so we really know who the man is, as it used to be in the old days. The banning refueling to reduce the cost, which I like very much. I like a sprint race, and so that'll be good. Let's see what happens. But I have a feeling that, you know, this is the rule. Rules are made to be changed and broken. I think this will be sorted out. It should be, you know. Last thing we need is a civil war in Formula One.
Yeah, and the politics are out of control in Formula One these days, and we always hope after the season is over that we're going to have a cleaner, more sports-oriented season, and it always comes up with more political BS. I mean, we've got to get away from this.
Yeah, and those who used to complain about departed Jean-Marie Ballest.
Exactly.
You know, wonder what they're thinking now.
I mean, I'm sure he's giggling a little bit right now.
Yes.
God rest his soul, of course. But I don't know.
And talking about FIA, it's very sad. You heard about his son found dead.
Of course, a tragedy.
Max Mosley's son.
In Notting Hill, I believe, mm-hmm. in that area. Could be an overdose of drugs.
I think that's pretty much a done deal. That was his son, Alexander
Correct.
Mosley. Very sad, and, you know.
Our condolences go out to the Mosley family.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people have had these problems, including Paul Newman. So...
Yeah, his son died, right?
Correct, yeah. Exactly.
And you know, amazing, this morning I was reading that there was, I saw this, that a NASCAR driver, Kevin Grubb, was found dead in a hotel in near Richmond, Virginia. And it says that he was, I knew this because I knew him from racing, you know, that he was suspended for drug violation in 2006. That was the second time. So I figured maybe this is another drug overdose. Then later news came out that he shot and killed himself.
Wow.
Yeah. So condolence to the Grubb family also.
Yeah, that's absolutely terrible. Let's liven it up a little bit by bringing up Nelson Piquet Jr.
That's livening it?
He's a good laugh.
Well, you know, he's coming out, he's doing...
Or is that a dead man walking?
There's something like that.
A dead career walking.
He's doing some interviews via podcast through the Renault website. It's the trend now. Everybody's podcasting. Why? We must have started it, Nasser, I'm sure.
Oh, it's you and Desiree.
Yeah. But anyway, Nelson admits he needs to pick up his qualifying, as I would say, machismo-ness, because it's really lacking. Steven, I mean, your thoughts on Nelson?
Well, he seriously needs to out-qualify his teammate at least once
in a while. Let's just get this right out. He is never going to out-qualify him.
Okay, fine, not out-qualify him, but at least look competitive.
Be next to him.
Yeah, you know, at least kind of, you know, keep up with him. Because, you know, being out in the first round or the second round when your teammates get into the final round, it just doesn't make you look any good. So, yeah, Nelsinho really needs to pick up his game. You know, we've discussed this a couple of times over the last couple of weeks that, you know, he's kind of in the hot seat with Romain Grosjean walking around the paddock with his helmet under his arm going, Flavio!
Not only that.
Is it my turn yet?
Not only that, but the cameras are always on Grosjean for some reason. The Renault driver, Nelson Piquet, has qualified 14th. That has been his best in four races, having missed the cut in Q3 twice. And, of course, teammate Fernando Alonso has started from the top 10 in all four races. And, you know, I believe Renault give both drivers the same car. And Nelson, my favorite quote was, my strong point has always been throughout my career was qualifying. Of course, this doesn't mean much in the lower categories, but I have been the driver with the most pole position in all the years. This year, I'm struggling a little bit more. So, yeah, you know, people forget that Nelsinho was dicing it up with Lewis Hamilton back in GP2. And things have just caved for him. And I somewhat feel sorry for him. But you know, we'll see. Okay, a lot of people will say...
Is it possibly a practice issue? Is it because he doesn't get enough seat time?
Well, he's saying that's hurting him. But, I mean, second year in Formula One, by the time you get to a Formula One as a driver, you're a pretty good driver. I mean...
But you don't get to Formula One unless you're a pretty good driver.
Exactly.
You've got a lot of money behind you.
And I still think that they need to put in Grosjean sooner than later, Nasser.
Well, you know, it happens a lot. You know, when you move up a series, you find out, wow, you know, this is not what I thought. And there have been many cases. You know, there was this English driver, Ben Hendley, who, if you look at his career, did very well. And by the time you get to, like, GP2 level, was not much seen. Same with Mike Conway. I mean, he steamrolled through the British F3 Championship, had a very tough time first year in GP2, second year won a race, changed teams. And now he's racing in the U.S. So once you get to the top level, anytime you move up, it's a different scenario. And you see it with a lot of good drivers. But Nelsinho is for sure making very obvious how good Alonso and Hamilton are.
Well, so obvious that now Fernando Alonso apparently has been reminiscing about his days at McLaren and how much fun it was to have a machismo driver as a teammate, because it really pushes you to find the highest level you're capable of doing. And I found that intriguing. And apparently, lately, Fernando and Lewis Hamilton have been chit-chatting and...
Texting each other.
Friendship is developing.
Well, Fernando was saying towards the end of last year that he had no beef with Lewis Hamilton. It was more with others over at the McLaren factory that he had his issues with, and it wasn't necessarily you know, his relationship with Lewis that forced him out.
Yeah, but that doesn't sound exciting in the press. The press like a good...
Well, you want driver.
Exactly. No, he's right. You know, he could not go to his teammate and say, hey, go a little bit slower, but you can always go to the team owner and say, hey, I was number one.
I think maybe he should go to Nelson Piquet and say, can you go a little faster?
There you go.
You know what? Talking of Nelson Piquet, I have a lot of respect for him. 3 world championships. I was a huge fan of Nelson Piquet. But, you know, he's always foul-mouthing Nigel Mansell. And man has the right to his opinion. But recently when he was interviewed, he was making, you know, these sarcastic comments about Nigel Mansell. In the end, he says, and now we have his sons, and they are just like him at the back. And I remember when Nelsinho was coming through the ranks, they had asked him if he was going to, I think this was before GP2 was started, they had asked him if he would put his son through Formula 3000. And he says, no, because it's useless. So I'd like to know, how does it feel now, baby? Well,
comes down to bitter much?
Yeah.
And it's sad that Nelson Piquet Sr. can't really bury the hatchet on the Nigel Mansell thing. I mean...
He's calling Nigel uneducated, this and that, and using very, very language we will not use here. And I'm thinking, you know, if you're classy and educated... Okay. You shouldn't be talking like this.
You shouldn't be talking like you're not.
Yeah, that's a little bit bizarre.
But his cage was very well rattled by Nigel Mansell, so that's where the bitterness comes from.
Well, absolutely. Cage rattling has been around for a long time.
Oh, yeah, and it has serious after effects.
It does, and we still hear them today.
Absolutely.
Okay, quickly, let's go to Barcelona as I put my panel together. Gentlemen, we're back in Europe, and a lot of people say... This is really when the season starts.
And all of them live in Europe.
Yeah, and Bourdais was saying we knew the first races were going to be a little strange and difficult, but now the season starts now.
We have a lot of teams that don't really do any additions to the car development, when they're on the road. They wait until they get back to Europe. So, especially BMW case in point, where they really didn't make any changes to the car they took to Australia all the way through to Bahrain. And now they're going to start adding their diffuser and some of the other package additions when they get here to Spain. So hopefully that'll pick them up. Toro Rosso is another team like that where they don't do a lot to the car when they're overseas. So it should be fun. I expect the field maybe get mixed up a little bit. Maybe we'll see some people moving up again. But I would expect the bronze to still be exceptionally competitive. We've seen the Mercedes moving up the field. Renault has basically dropped the KERS system. It'll be interesting to see how they fare because I think they're on their third, you know, they're on their real diffuser. They're off their interims and onto their real diffuser, so should be fun.
Nick Heidfeld has already predicted Braun 1-2, and rounding off the podium will be Fernando Alonso. So obviously he's full of confidence and vigor.
And if I'm Mario Tyson, I walk up and I slap him upside the head. It's like, you don't go into the press and basically say that we've lost a race before the weekend's even started.
Well,
come on.
BMW has come out and they said they will not have their diffuser ready for Barcelona. And this is, you know, this is a big bummer season for the Beamers.
Oh, big time, especially if they're not ready. I really don't understand why people, you know, the minute the Bronze took the track and they had their neat trick diffuser, they weren't back in their modeling labs figuring out how they're going to get one on their car, because, you know, it may be against the rules, but you could at least engineer it up to find out whether or not it's going to happen. You know, once you find out whether or not it's going to be deemed legal or not.
Nasser, your Barcelona pickups?
Well, you know, right now it looks very strong for Braun and Red Bull. Surprise, surprise. But, you know, I think it'll be good for the sport if Toyota or Williams can get their first win.
Let's hope Williams do something. I want to see Frank happy again.
Yeah, I want to see Nico also get a win. And, you know, there's already talk now. Willy Weber is saying he would like to see Nico Hülkenberg there. This other Japanese kid, Kamui Kobayashi, he is doing a much better job in GP2, just won the GP2 Asia. So Kazuki could be on shifting sushi, you know. They might throw him back into GP2, which may not be a bad thing.
Shifting sushi.
Yeah, there's no sand in Montmelo, Barcelona.
Exactly. Keep up the good work, Nasser. I predict that Red Bull is going to be very strong, and Braun is going to struggle to keep up with the Red Bulls. And, of course, I'm not. And I know I like Mark Webber, but I think Sebastian Vettel is going to be showing more of his cage rattling.
Oh, yeah, that was expected.
Yes, absolutely. And I'm hoping the Renault does show some pace. They have decided to dump curves for a while because it's really not advantageous. It just adds a lot of weight to the vehicle. And it's putting a lot of pressure on the drivers to stay super skinny. I mean, Heidfeld came out and said he weighs 59 kilos. My thigh weighs 59 kilos, Nasser.
Yeah, it's like, it's starting to look like they're jockeys, you know?
That's what it's going to come down to. We're going to have jockeys
driving race cars. You know, I'm trying to figure this out that, you know, okay, FIA wants teams to use curves. Okay, why don't you increase the gross weight of the car so that if you put curves in it, you're not taking a weight pen, you know, you should actually be getting a weight benefit by having curves in the car and not the other way around. Okay, an extra 80 horsepower going to do you diddly for the other, you know, what do they get, like 6 seconds or something like that?
Sometimes, but it's the whole lap where it's really not averaging to much at all.
Well, they only get a certain amount during the lap, and, you know, it's a very tiny percentage of the lap, which means you have to carry that weight without the advantage of the horsepower for the rest of that lap.
Exactly.
They didn't make it very beneficial to the teams who are using it to, you know.
And, you know, talking of Barcelona, if anybody is interested in going to the Spanish Grand Prix next year, I would highly recommend. Very nice city. The track is not too far from the city center.
Circuit de Catalunya.
Yeah, I would highly recommend.
No, I'm sure it's lovely with those winds. Ooh, I love it. And no rain this weekend, of course.
And we even did a travel log one time for that.
I know. So, and maybe we'll get that played on the air. So, quickly, I'm predicting Braun, Red Bull, Renault on the podium in that order. I know. See, I'm loosening up a little bit. I'm not giving everything to Fernando anymore. But Fernando could have pole. That's, I think he did last year, didn't he?
I'm sure he'll do well. He typically does well in Spain. I think he gets a little bit, you know, he gets another tenth by being on his home track, you know, that home field advantage kind of thing. But
we'll see what happens. So anyway, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back with an outstanding Motorsports Mundial. So we'll be back after this brief message.
F1Weekly.com would like to thank our sponsor, San Jose Label Inc. San Jose Label is a custom manufacturer of labels that makes a variety of products. 1-4 color process labels, alphanumeric barcoding and UPC labels, blank labels, serialized asset tags, hazardous labels, bumper stickers, pin feed, static cling, hot stamp labels, and many others. Please go to www.sanjoselabel.com for info, samples requests, and graphic design. Or you can call to telephone 408-436-8221. San Jose Label is the one-stop shop for all your labeling needs.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we spin the globe and the 45 and go around the world with Motorsports Mundial and the man himself, Nasser Hamid.
Greetings and racing regards from Mammy Blue to Matra Blue. And Mr. Rogers, while you were on vacation, I made some plans of my own. And you know what's happening.
You're joining another podcast?
No.
Thank God.
Love we have at F1 Weekly is unconditional.
That's what I was hoping.
Yeah, and the contract is like for 20 years. So I'm stuck. But, you know, seriously, what happened is, thanks to corporate cost cutting, I was told I have to take a week off in June, and my time slot they wanted me to take was in the middle of June. So what I'm doing is I am taking a trip to your fantasy land, and I had two choices, basically. You know, one was to go back east, visit my sister in Maryland, which is what I'm doing Memorial Day weekend. So the other two choices were to stay home and sing the blues with Muddy Waters, and you know how much I enjoyed those. Or I can go to your fantasy land, Vive la France, and drink Perrier in Paris and enjoy moonlight on Mulsanne with the sound of racing cars. And what happened one day, I was at home and I get this email, IM thing, from one of my friends whom you have met, Mr. Terry Griffin. He says to me, I'm going on a photography assignment to Le Mans. Would you like to go? And boy, I really had to think about that one.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
Yeah.
like two heartbeats?
Yeah. So what I've done is I'm very excited. I booked my flight. I'm going there. And I sent an email. I'm obviously trying to do a lot of interviews. And I sent an email to Henri Pescarola, you know who that is, requesting an audience for an interview. And his wife, Madi, responded by saying, please come to the shop. His shop is located at the Le Mans track. So you better get me those media credentials.
I'm doing the best I can, Nasser. Charm only goes so far. Once you get to Le Mans, it's professionalism they want.
Yeah, but you are a fellow...
Did you speak the language?
Yeah, you are a fellow frog, so you can just hop across the pond and come back with a media credential.
Ribbit.
Yeah. So I'm very happy. And, you know, the little personal note here. In June 1973, first time in my life I heard the sound of motor racing, and this was the start of the Le Mans 24-hour race on BBC World Service. And I still remember those cars going by, and the announcer too, Robin Richards, who was with BBC for a long time. And as the cars would scream by, he would go, Matra, Ferrari, Matra. And at that time, Pescarola was leading, and Brian Redman was second in the Ferrari. And many years ago, I ran into Brian Redman at Sears Point, and I told him about this. And he goes, oh yeah, the bloody gearbox broke. So it was, I'm trying to catch up to my past now with all these trips. But nothing broke on Pesca's car, and he went on to win. And now, 36 years later, Moa will have the opportunity to meet the Matra winner. And, you know, he won 3 years in a row with Matra, and then also later on with Porsche. Mr. Alain Prost, his son Nicolas will be racing there too. And I sent an email to his people also, and they tell me that they're not sure if he will be at Le Mans or not. And Mr. Luca Montezemolo is waving the green flag. So if I can get a couple of minutes with Luca, that'll be very nice.
That would make your day.
Oh, absolutely.
But you might have to give him a gift, like a television.
Like, yeah, exactly. A Panasonic television, yeah. Like an Unbreakable.
Exactly.
Yeah, that will really extend my duration of the interview with him.
Absolutely.
Instantly to 20 minutes. What else is going on? And also, you know, I have a certain minimum, you know, like the FDA has minimum daily requirement. I have minimum trip requirement, that if I can at least do a few interviews, trip is worth it. Pescarola is very high on the agenda. I'm trying very hard to get in touch with Jean-Pierre Bertois also. There's a lot of history with Bertois and, you know, Matra and all these things. And, of course, my man, Gérard Ducarouge, he also comes from Matra, worked with Senna and Lotus, so... Well, I'll see what I can do. And then, for a day, I'm going to be in the land of Muy Macho Hombre de España, and I wanted, you know, I want to visit some old tracks that are no longer on the lost tracks of Formula One, and I am going to Jarama, which is 15-20 miles from Madrid downtown, so it's not too far. So I'll be, and this is very important because I was a huge Niki Lauda fan when he joined Ferrari, and his first victory came in 1974 at Jarama. And then Gilles Villeneuve, like a lot of racing fan, I was a huge Gilles Villeneuve fan, and he took his final and greatest win. And the interesting thing about his victory in 1981, he had held up a lot of cars behind him for lap after lap, and I was listening to this race live on Radio France International in Karachi, and I'll never forget, on the closing stages, Lafitte was trying to, you know, pass him. And so this Mr. Henri Charpentier was getting all excited. Jacques Lafitte, Ligier, Jacques Lafitte. So I thought maybe he passed him. But when the racing sound stopped and he said, Deuxième Lafitte, I said, okay, Gilles Villeneuve won. So I'm really looking forward to this trip. I'll send you a postcard and maybe a packet of paella.
Thank you.
You look very excited.
I am excited.
Okay, now we go from dreaming to driving on track. A1GP. Beautiful Brands Hatch hosted season finale, and this here is a little story of cage rattling, how you get one chance and you make a statement. Adam Carroll of Team Ireland took pole position for both sprint and feature races. J.R. Hildebrand of Team USA qualified on second row and fourth for the sprint race. Weekend was double bonanza for Team Ireland as Adam Carroll turned both pole positions into race wins and with it the World Cup of Motorsport. So congratulations to him and Team Ireland. A few more Guinness and whatever they drink there. In sprint race, Carroll was followed by Naren Karthikeyan in second for Team India, Salvador Duran from Mexico, and he's the gentleman who won both the rounds when the circuit came to Laguna Seca for one and only time. Okay, so Salvador Duran from Mexico was third, and J.R. Hildebrand was an impressive fourth in his first race in A1GP competition. And, you know, this just goes to show, you know, there's so much hoopla about Marco with 3 years of IndyCar experience, and this guy made him look bad.
And how does Michael Andretti feel? How does A1GP USA team feel? And what are they going to do?
Are they going to bring him back or maybe put in Danica Patrick?
Well, you know what? Marco has been marginal at best.
Yeah.
I think it's time
marginal
to put in...
Marginal and erratic.
I think A1GP USA benefits by putting a young, hungry driver in the car. Marco's got nothing to... Marco could care less how well he does in A1GP. His job isn't... His future isn't predicated on how well he does. Whereas a kid like Hildebrand, if he impresses like this, might get him a ride in Europe or, you know, get him... Maybe even get him an IndyCar seat.
Well, to play devil's advocate here, I think Marco does want to prove to not his father, but his grand papito, that, you know, he does have the TFs to be in some of the European series. But I don't know. I'm very impressed with Hildebrand.
Yeah,
we've interviewed a number of times.
This really goes back to those things, you know, with Liuzzi, Speed, Borde. When you get a chance, like Derek Daly said, regardless of what the odds are, you have to perform. And when you do something, you know, what really bothers me, Somerton, Team USA is Team USA. This is not Team, you know, Burkina Faso. They only have one win in the whole history of the series, 4 or 5 seasons. Somerton gave them that win. And when I heard the news first time that Michael Andretti was going to take over, I knew Somerton is out. And I would hate to see Marco get the USF1 seat instead of Jonathan Somerton. So they really need to push drivers who are deserving and who are delivering.
Not only that, but I think...
If you are racing an IndyCar, racing for a top team, very well funded for 3 years, and you have one win to show, you know, don't tell me you're going to win in GP2, because that's not going to happen.
Or actually step over the pond and prove it.
Exactly.
No, and Michael Andretti, if he's going to be a team owner, he's got to think outside the envelope and realize that some of the up-and-coming young talent is the way to go, and Marco, he'll get work in the IRL.
Well, he's pretty much, you know, got the seat for as long as he wants it there, unless he really starts to languish. But, yeah, you need to give some of this young talent a chance.
Okay, in the feature race, Team Netherlands was second because, like I said, Ireland won both races. And Netherlands driver was Jeroen Bleekemolen. Neil Johnny for outgoing champion Team Switzerland was third. In the overall scheme of things, Team USA finished 11th in the championship behind such motorsport powerhouses as Malaysia in 6th and Monaco in 9th. And that's pretty sad.
Yeah, I think this was Monaco's first year in A1GP.
That is, thank you. With Clelio Piccione.
My personal opinion for A1GP is that the fact that the US team doesn't race the same driver the entire season, or a certain pair of drivers that's like, oh, hey, who can go to Spain this week? You know, kind of thing.
No,
rather
it's
than,
who's got a valid passport this week.
that has happened.
And I think that they lose the continuity. You know, you can't throw a driver into a car every 4 months and expect him to perform, especially when he's been testing other vehicles in the meantime.
Yeah. And talking of Neil Johnny, he marked the opening of a new tunnel in Switzerland by driving a Toro Rosso F1 car in a section of the tunnel. And good for him, Montoya was not traveling through Switzerland chasing Schumacher.
That's good. Yeah, I hate those weird little accidents.
Yeah, tunnel vision can be impaired, you know.
Very bad.
And Jacques Villeneuve is starting a high-performance driving school in his hometown of Montreal. Maybe we should send Desiree to his school. You know, she likes Montreal. She does a little Francais.
She does.
Yeah, and then maybe, you know, she can get into NASCAR. Now we come to Formula Palmer Audi. Their 2009 season started last Sunday at Brands Hatch with three races. Opening two races were won by young American driver Joseph Newgarden. Third race of the weekend was won by Kazim Vasiliauskas of Lithuania. And if I'm messing up his name, my apologies. And Newgarden leads the championship, and there is a very familiar name in 11th place. And, you know, at F1 Weekly, we don't make stuff. We always say stuff that can be verified. So 11th in the Formula Power Championship right now, as we speak, is Alonso. Jose Alonso, that is. And just for you, Clark Rogers, muy macho hombre de San Jose, I went to his website, and if he was related to Alonso, there'll be pictures of Fernando. Nando everywhere, but I don't think he's related. But, you know, it's nice to know that name is still there.
Exactly.
Even in junior formula.
I'm sure it spills in somewhere.
Yeah. Okay. MotoGP, Jorge in a hurry in Jerez. Young Spanish rider took pole position for his home Grand Prix, but then crashed out three laps from the end while chasing the leaders. His Yamaha teammate, Valentino Rossi, took his first win of the season. Another local favorite, Danny Pedrosa, was the early leader before being passed by the doctor. Pedrosa finished second for Repsol Honda, and Casey Stoner was third for Ducati, and Dr. Rossi now leads the championship. I'm really enjoying MotoGP also, and the I watched the 250cc race. I had some extra time, so I watched this also. The 250cc race had an amazing finish. Local rider Alvaro Bautista looked set to win, but was passed by Hiroshi Aoyama with only few corners to go on the final lap. Bautista made a brave last corner pass on Hiroshi, but the Japanese rider repassed him coming out of the corner. It was very impressive. Worth watching on YouTube if available. And as we turn the page, in the previous race in Japan, Bautista had won over Hiroshi, and both riders agreed justice was served. Very refreshing to see good attitude from both racers, despite losing on their home ground. World Series by Renault at Spa, a winning moment for you every round.
I love this series.
I'm sure you do. They were at Spa, and Marcos Martinez, maybe the new muy macho hombre de España, after winning the first three races of the season, so very impressive. In race one, he triumphed over local yokel Bertrand Baguette. And in race two, British driver James Walker was the winner, and Mr. Baguette was again second.
That's a great name, Bertrand Baguette.
Bertrand Baguette, yeah.
It doesn't get better than that.
Yeah. Wonder if it's sourdough or some other flavor.
Traditional.
What would I know?
Artisan.
Okay. Okay, Mr. Continental. Okay, World Touring Car Championship. Are you going to give me some trips for traveling in your fantasy
of
land?
Of course. You'll get the usual F1 Weekly dollars. That you could redeem at all Best Westerns.
Oh, yeah. Available at any Kinko's. Very good. World Touring Car Championship. International Motor Racing returns to Morocco in the street of Marrakesh. And if you go to their website, it's very nicely done. A lot of photographs. Robert Huff was the big winner in race one, driving a Chevrolet Cruze, started from pole and led from start to finish. Second was the Seat of Gabriel Tarquini. Race 2 saw another Chevrolet Cruze to victory, driven by ex-Grand Prix driver Nicola Larini. Ivan Muller was second in a Seat. Now we come to one of my favorite series, British F3 at Silverstone. In race 1, Dutch driver Renger van der Zande won on his debut in the British series, which is always very impressive if you win on your debut. Local chap Max Chilton was second. In race 2, Australian Daniel Ricciardo took his third win of the season in four starts, and he is doing very good. Ricky, don't lose my number, Christo Dulo was second, and Kazuki's brother Daisuke Nakajima was fourth. Also performing at Silverstone, FIA GT, victory for Saleen S7, driven by Ryan Sharp and Michael Andretti's buddy from his F1 days, Carl Wendlinger. Maserati MC12 was second, shared by Michael Bartels and Andrea Bertolini. Australian V8 at Winton, race 1 saw a Ford 1-2-3 with Craig Lowndes on top of the podium, ahead of Jamie Wincup and Stephen Richards. Race 2 was another Craig Lowndes festival with Mark Winterbottom, also known as Frosty, and he was also driving a Ford and finished second. Grand Am at New Jersey. Rain. Nothing but rain there. This was at this New Jersey Motorsports Park. I believe the town is Millville. A race was won by one of the gentlemen we interviewed first, Ricardo Zonta of Brazil and Nick Jonsson of Sweden in the Crone Racing Lola Ford. And now to Clark Rogers' favorite series.
Le NASCAR.
Thank you. Big birthday bash for Mr. Kyle Busch in Richmond, Virginia. Man from Vegas wins the nationwide race first. And then the big one, the cup race on his 24th birthday. Survey says Kyle Busch and Cale Yarborough are the only drivers in NASCAR Nation to win on the Naissance, which would be Francais for date of birth.
Of course.
Correct?
Correct.
Thank you. I'm trying to brush up on my little
impressive
French. Thank you. Merci. Smoke gets in your eyes and face. Tony Stewart was second. Now awesome. Indy 500 news. Canadian TNT in the big show. Paul Tracy, also known as Thrill from West Hill, will race for KV Racing. That would be Kevin Kalkoven and Jimmy Vassar operation. And recorded the fastest time on the opening day of practice. Very impressive for a guy who's been out of racing for a year and a half. But he is super talented racing driver for sure. PT, who once called IRL Cars Crap Wagon, will have Geico sponsorship, and time will tell if they can provide full season coverage.
Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
And Eric Bachelard will be watching Alex Tagliani as the French-Canadian will be driving for his Conquest Racing team. Now some news on Formula 2 preseason testing. As you know, Williams Grand Prix Engineering designed and built this car. And this is, of course, Max Mosley's brainchild spec series. They were testing first official test of the series at Snetterton. As predicted, Mr. Robert Wickens from Toronto, O Canada, set the pace on the opening day of testing on Wednesday. And I will be very, very surprised if Wickens does not win this championship. And as a Red Bull driver, he should at least win quite a few races and fight for the title. Otherwise, Dr. Marco may ship him back across the pond and south of the border on the Belinda Carlisle program. Circles in the sand, round and round. Scott Speed leads that orchestra. Formula 2 season starts in Valencia at the end of this month, and if our new forum member, Senora Carmen, is going to the races, may we request some fotografia, por favor. Gracias in advance.
Keep up the good work, Nasser.
We're paying people big dollars, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Zeros all around.
Yeah, we have zeros, euros also.
Yeah.
Cool.
It's official.
Okay. GP2, starting this weekend as support race to the Spanish Grand Prix. Serious cage rattling expected between Romain Grosjean and Kamui Kobayashi, who just won the Asia GP2, as we mentioned earlier. Both are second-year drivers, and series debutant Nico Hülkenberg. His manager, Herr Willy Weber, is already talking of Nico driving in F1 next year, possibly replacing or joining his namesake at Williams, and this should be interesting. He was at the A1 GP race. He was interviewed. I watched this on the web. And I would really like to see Wickens and him succeed because these are very good racing talent. Okay, Formula BMW Europe. This series also starts in Barcelona this weekend. All the best from F1 Weekly to our longtime and regular listener, Mr. Kazim Manzoor. He is the lead driver this year for championship-winning Yusuf Kaufman Racing. So it will be interesting and exciting.
Good luck, Kazim.
Absolutely. Thank you, Nas, for another outstanding Motorsports Mondial. So take a quick break and we'll come back with the wrap up. We'll be back in 60 seconds.
Hi, I'm Clark Rogers, host of F1Weekly.com's podcast. Please visit our website, F1Weekly.com, your fresh new destination for all your Formula One needs. F1Weekly.com brings you a weekly podcast that covers the latest news, rumors, and insightful commentary related to the pinnacle of modern motorsports, Formula One. You can find us on iTunes and other popular podcast locations. F1Weekly.com. Thank you.
We'd just like to plug one of our longtime listeners and forum members' new blog. He's writing Open Wheel Racing blog entitled Open Wheel Rants, Not the OWR You're Used To. And you can find it. This is Christopher, Auto Racer 5 on the forums. And you can find his blog at openwheelrants.vox.com. So check it out.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we begin the wrap-up, let's go right to the forum updates with Steven.
This week's forum updates from Miguel. The latest GP in the aftermath of the FIA World Councils have kept forum members very busy in the last week. The performance of the teams and the fairness of the penalty imposed on McLaren have been thoroughly discussed in several different threads across the forum. Bumgartner fan kicked off a very dynamic thread by asking, "Is Toyota the deathbed for drivers' careers?" Some forum members seem to think so, and fellow listeners are gently requested to visit the thread and express their ideas on the issue. The 15th anniversary of Ayrton Senna's death was observed in a dedicated thread that included a link to a YouTube video about his first F1 victory, commented on by Senna himself. On May the 3rd, we celebrated forum member American Driver's birthday. On the previous day, Ye, a pillar of the forum community, decided to frighten the more sensitive members of the community by posting a picture of his bald head emerging from a bronze GP jacket. Clark, we need some explicit labels to identify threats that require viewer discretion. Proving that the announcement of its demise was grossly exaggerated, the "How I Love to Live in the Countryside" is now 146 pages with 3,640 posts and still growing strong. And finally, a big shout of welcome to our latest member, BX Sauber. Thanks, Miguel.
Outstanding, and of course the forum is a lot of fun, and I always encourage listeners, don't just listen, get in there and contribute and tell us about your F1 stimulating passionate moments.
Give us your two cents. You know, we'd like to know what you're thinking about the given goings on in Formula One these days.
Exactly. Okay, let's go right to San Francisco Formula One group. They're meeting again because we've got Le Grand Prix d'Espagne. And, of course, you can go to their website, SanFranciscoFormula1Group.com. I believe it's SFF1.com. And, of course, this is going to be Sunday, May 10th, 10 a.m. pre-race. The flag drops at 10:30. And, of course, this is at our favorite place, Overtime Sports Bar and Grill, 398 7th at Harrison in beautiful downtown San Francisco. And if you give them a call and check out what they have for brunch at 415-863-1688. And of course, Andy Chittum and Madman Motors are back in town on the jet setting USTCC season opener. Andy had great success putting us in line with our goals for the USTCC championship this year. Of course, you can go to their website, www.chittum.net. The next race is at Thunder Hill Raceway Park on May 31st and 30th. Andy and I are getting married on the 30th. Congratulations to Andy and his beautiful fiancée, Jennifer. Outstanding. And we'll be following his career through the season. He's had some great success last year. Keep up the good work, Andy, and of course, take a look at those F1 Weekly stickers. Marin Karting is proud to organize and support the 2009 Jim Russell Northern California Rotax Series. Marin Karting offers CRG carts, engines, and parts for all carts, engine service, driver coaching, and trackside support to Northern California carters. For more information, contact Marin Karting at 415-898-0999 or at marincarting.com. We want to mention our MySpace, Facebook, and Twitter sites because they are as active as a hive of busy, happy bees. So do a search for F1 Weekly, F1Weekly.com, F1 Weekly listeners, Clark Rogers, Nasser Hamid, or Steve Faub, and make us a friend. If you'd like to advertise or cross-promote with our website or podcast, email us at info@f1weekly.com. I want to thank everybody who makes this show possible, including the listeners. We really do appreciate it. And, of course, Toby Dawes way out in New York, Steve Faub right here in beautiful Northern California, Nasser Hamid, And of course, the executive producer, Mr. David Tapia. Good night.
Bye bye.
This is Desiree for F1Weekly.com, thanking you, the subscribers and members of our listening audience, for listening to our podcast, reporting and commenting on Formula One, the highest echelon of motorsport, a blend of technology, tradition, glamour, and guts, all wrapped up in a high-speed package. That's F1Weekly.com for all your Formula One needs.